and a warm welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, it's a victory as we look back on Saturday's win over FC Edinburgh. Two games this week to look ahead to, and has the momentum swung back in our favour for the battle for ninth? Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Team Podcast. I am Colin Byers, with me as ever, Martin Smith. Welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Colin. How are you?
Not too bad. Good Easter weekend.
It was a very good weekend. It was on Saturday. It was a very good weekend.
Turned out to be a cracking weekend. Cracked open the Easter eggs yet?
Yeah, kind of live. Had a couple over the festive period. It's been good. I missed it.
I haven't even opened my mind yet, so I'm keeping mine because I'm on holiday this week, so it's something for me to look forward to. So obviously we've got a lot to kind of get through this week, two games to preview. A win, first time in 8 games I think it was, so lots of positive aspects that we'll also be discussing this week. We'll go through as well what that kind of win means for us as well in terms of, as we spoke about last week, has the momentum gone with Clyde, does that mean that it's now back into our hands as well? But before we get onto all that, just want to sort of go through again some of the managerial discussions again. A couple of names that's maybe been ruled out now since we sort of last spoke about Barry Robson and Liam Fox. I don't think they were really contenders as such. But Barry Robson's been given a job until the end of the season with Aberdeen, and Liam Fox has joined him as well, having left Dundee United. So a couple of contenders, maybe it's no longer viable. So we're really looking at, you know, people who are really within jobs. You know, we've talked about Spider before, maybe Alan Hale as well, at Huntley, these kind of guys. And maybe that's why Roger and the board are taking their time this time.
Are you ruling out Ryan and Jordan already?
I'm not ruling them out. I'm just looking at, obviously they've done a fantastic job so far, and it's clear, yeah, within their three games that they're getting more out of the players than what was previously happening. So they're obviously with being with a good shout. However, as we said last week or the week before, given their ages and they're still wanting to play, yeah, maybe that will come against them at some point. And, you know, you never know, they maybe didn't want the job, but just knew that's the other thing.
Well, yeah, there is that as well. Yeah, I mean, I think guys, obviously the Barry Robson and Liam Fox were quite speculative. It was more wishful thinking than anything. I think they're now, you know, they'll be Aberdeen for the rest of the season, potentially beyond that as well. Spider, obviously, Bucky, going well in the league. You've got Mark Cowie at Fraser. But I think now the board's in a situation where they're probably quite happy to leave it with Ryan and Jordan. As we said, they've now gotten a bit of a tune out of this team that Davey couldn't have managed to get in his 5-month year. So I'm quite happy to leave it with the guys that are there just now. I think Roger sort of touched on that a couple of weeks back, where he was quite happy to see how things were at the end of the season and then maybe take it for there. Again, that's also maybe he's got somebody in mind, but they maybe don't want to come in at this stage either. We've spoken numerous times about what that for division will be in. That obviously will weigh in a manager's thoughts as well. So yeah, I think at the moment, I think Roger will be happy is not the word, but I think he'll be content with the way things are going in terms of we're now getting a tune out of the team that's, you know, been missing for the whole season up until the last couple of weeks, and leave it with Ryan and Jordan.
One name that we didn't mention previously because he was in a job, he's now no longer in a job, and that was Kim, is a bit of a surprise over the weekend, was Gavin Price. I just wonder if he might be a potential to come in as well. Been at Elgin for about 6 years, done really well with a limited budget. I think probably a budget which would be smaller than we'd have at Peterhead as well. And given the location as well, you know, we often bemoan about Peterhead being difficult to try and recruit for players. You know, Elgin is probably just as bad. So I just wonder, maybe that might be a consideration both for him and maybe for Roger on the board now as well.
So you're going to mention Robbie Nielsen for a second there. yeah, like you said, a limited budget to Elgin as well. And there was a time that Peterhead and Elgin were sort of battling it out in years gone by as well. So yeah, again, certainly a man that I wouldn't rule out, whether he fancies another difficult challenge like Elgin was. you know, it remains to be seen. But it's certainly a guy that I don't think you could rule out, you know, very quickly. I think he's got skills that could be used for us. He's worked with numerous changes before as well within our club. So, again, certainly a guy that I wouldn't rule out.
And obviously, a really poor season this season. They're currently bottom. No wins in the last six. But given how tight that league is, just another couple of results the other way, you'd probably find themselves then a shout of a playoff. And they did get second a couple of seasons ago as well, so he does have the sort of track record. He is available. Emery's assistant Jim Weir will obviously be available to come in at any time, which will obviously be an advantage at the moment. You know, they could come in the last couple of games, have a look at, maybe Nate take charge as such, but maybe have a look at the squad, assess what they've got, and they'd be able to, and you think about his coaches he's had as well. Keith Gibson, former Peterhead player, was with him at Elgin and left for family reasons, personal reasons. So, you know, he might look to try and join up again. And, you know, all these kind of things would come, makes it much more easier to try and get a manager like him in.
Yeah, like I said, it's certainly a guy that I wouldn't rule out quickly. He's got skills that I think could be used, worked with small budgets. And as you said, that there is that connection he's got with coaches as well. Yeah, I think if the board are looking at somebody to come in this summer, I wouldn't be surprised whether they come in last couple of games of the season. You know, so that could be Clyde at home, Kelty away, Falkirk at home, and just sort of see what the squad's like. And I don't mean anything like taking training or tactics or anything. Just generally looking at the game, looking at the squad, seeing what players we've got, what players they look to move on. But, you know, it's difficult because obviously you want to perform, you want the team to perform well. As a manager going to come in and, you know, make things nervous, upset the apple cart a wee bit. It's precariously placed at the moment.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be much movement in that at the moment, but maybe that's maybe a good thing. They're just sort of assessing what's happening. And it does maybe look as though that Jordan and Ryan will take it to the end of the season, which, as we said earlier, they're quite happy to do that, and then they make their appointment in the summertime.
Yeah, I think now just leave it with Ryan and Jordan till the end of the season. I personally wouldn't see much benefit to taking in somebody now other than with the view to looking at next season. Obviously, players coming and going, that would be the only focus from my point of view on that. But at the moment, I'm really happy to leave it with Jordan and Ryan. Like I said, they're starting to get a tune out of this team now.
So we'll go into Saturday's game, Saturday's win. But before we do that, we were back in the hospitality, so just want to take this opportunity to thank all the staff for another great afternoon. Wonderful stories told by Natty Potter, as you could imagine. Some of them we've probably heard before. But yeah, another great afternoon up in the hospitality, and not just the food and the drink, but just the atmosphere as a whole was good as well.
Yeah, considering we're a club languishing at the bottom of the table and prior to that, two wins a hell season. Upstairs it was full as well. There was a good atmosphere. Yeah, credit to the staff as well. It looked a busy afternoon, and then also you got the players coming up afterwards as well, still needing fed. So yeah, everybody's been a fair shift, and you know that's what they do every Saturday with the hospitality. It's probably a side that we didn't see spectators much of, but you know, credit to everyone there.
Yeah, we reckon it was, what, 2019 since we were?
Yeah, it would have been, yeah.
Obviously, because of COVID and things like that. So, we'll hopefully that's us back to kind of our yearly visit up the stairs again, as providing there's no any other issues.
Yeah, aye, but we're going to get 3 points, we should maybe do the hospitality more often.
Aye, well, aye. It does get a bit more expensive, though. It's a proper expensive season. Right, so the game itself then, FC Edinburgh ended up being a 1-0 victory. First win in eight, first clean sheet in eight as well, going back to the 1-0 win over Clyde back in January. As we sort of said last week, in terms of like the performances and the shift that the players put in, it was clear to see that they built on that, and again, it was another step in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot more fight, hunger, and determination in the team now, and that's all we've really been crying out for the whole season, is put in the effort. Look, we came weren't the best team in the division. But all you want is your team to put in the effort and the commitment. We got that on Saturday, and you know, it paid off, and we got the result.
Yeah, maybe near the best team in the league, but you know, performances like that would suggest that we probably should have been, you know, challenging, running about the sort of 7th, 8th position again, like we were last season.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret we've had our fair share of challenges to seek over the season. A lot of changes. That hasn't helped. Obviously, a change of manager as well. Not once, but now twice. You know, and we've struggled. There's no beating about the bush about it. But I think now we've got, I think Ryan and Jordan's installed that, right, let's be difficult to break down. Let's be difficult to get beat. Because, you know, we've lost 5, we've lost 7s. But on Saturday, I thought the defence played, the whole team played well, but I thought the defence has seemed made of a unit. They were pushing up together, they were dropping deeper together. There just seemed to be a collective togetherness, an understanding of what each other was. We've bemoaned for ages now, square pegs and round holes. I think that's sort of been kicked to the side as well. It seems to be players in the position, and we're starting to reap the rewards of it.
And it's a third win of the season, but it's also a third win under 3 different managers as well, which just shows you how bad it's obviously been. Jim McNally got the first win under against Kelty. David Robson got a win against Clyde, that one back in January, and then obviously Ryan and Jordan have picked up the third win. So yeah, 3 different wins, 3 different managers.
But they still do question of sport these days. There's going to be a question that was up in years to come.
I think they do, but it's probably that Paddy McGinnis is still doing it. I think that's why it's they want.
Oh, not a fan of Paddy?
No. Well, I don't like change, you see. They should have kept the way it was. We've been used to changes. So let's quickly look at your stats then. 11 shots, 5 on target compared to Edinburgh's 7 shots and 2 on target, 50-50% possession. So it was fairly even. But, you know, again, you look at that stats, it just shows you how much better going forward we are as well in the last kind of couple of games.
I think the quality of the chances as well is key. You know, Daniel Fossu had about 3 chances alone when he came on to really cement that second goal that never came. But I think the quality of chances we're creating are better. We go opened up far too easy doing it at Falkirk and doing it at Airdrie. And I think, like I said, obviously it's a home game and it's a different side in Edinburgh. But, you know, we'll look better defensively. And all that things that install confidence, a clean sheet. First one for Stuart McKenzie in goals as well since he's come in. So, you know, all a lot of positives. And it's, again, it's something you're looking to take into the game tomorrow.
And it's fair to say that we probably could have won and should have won it by 2 or 3. I mean, that wouldn't have been an exaggeration.
No, like I said, I think Daniel Fossu had 3. Kieran Shanks had 1 as well when he's trying to go around the keeper rather than, you know, just do anything other than what he did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we certainly had chances. Maybe in one of them game, had we not come away with 3 points, it would have been a massive, you know, kick in the teeth.
And the team selection was exactly the same as the previous week. And it was set up as a 4-4-2, but it was a 4-4-2 diamond. So obviously we had Oyenson and Shanks up front. Jordan Brown was just sitting behind them, and Andy McCarthy was the man obviously in the front of the back four. And it was a good balance, I think.
Yeah, I think it worked well. The guys up front, I think the whole team, you know, collectively it was more of a unit. I think at times we've seen the striker or strikers, you know, being miles away from the midfield and it's been disjointed. I think that looked a lot better on Saturday. There's more balance to it. And yeah, I like the setup, that diamond. It's not something we've seen often this season, but it seemed to work against Edinburgh.
Yeah, it was an old favourite of Jim McNally when we were in League 2, especially that Championship winning season. And he sort of preferred that, you know, 2 up front, 1 behind, almost like a 3 in midfield, if you like. And because obviously Jordan's worked under Jim and Ryan's worked under Jim at those kind of stages, I was wondering maybe if they had that in the back of their mind that they want to be more attacking as opposed to what we have seen this season where we've been basically playing with a back 5 and still 3 in midfield.
I think, yeah, potentially. I mean, I think Saturday was probably one of them games where you had to win. You know, so we now came that Clyde got a point at Kelty, but, you know, even going into the game, you felt it was one of them games where you had to win to give yourself a chance. So I don't think playing with a back 5 would really work, whether you went to a 5-3-2, it's too defensive. You're the home team. Edinburgh aren't on the best of form either. I think they've got the team selection, the tactics, and even the substitutions, I think all came really well for them.
And it was one of those games when you come in that you sort of felt as though because of Edinburgh's form, it wasn't great. We'd obviously lost the previous week, but there were signs of improvement. So coming into this game, you kind of felt as though this is a game that we could potentially take the 3 points and win it fairly comfortably.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think when we spoke a couple of weeks back, you sort of looked at the fixtures and you tried to pick up games where you felt you could get something. And this is probably one of them, along with Clyde and Kelty, that you'd marked in the calendar as, if you want to try and get ninth place, that's a game you've really got to win. Regardless of what other results are, that's a game that you need to get 3 points from. And I think, obviously, we've done that. I think we've still got 6 points to try and, make it in our own hands and be safe in ninth. I think we need another 2 wins. Everything came up. Like I said, I think they got their tactics right. I think the shape what Edinburgh would go for, I think they matched, they went with the diamond. It all came up really well.
But it was just the sheer, I wouldn't say determination, but just the work rate that are putting in. And it's a work rate of players that weren't a Dean it a few weeks ago. And it's just so night and day as to compare to how it's been.
Yeah, whatever Ryan and Jordan have done in training over the last couple of weeks, it's paying off. I think there was passengers in the team over the last couple of weeks. I think that's now changed. I think if Ryan and Jordan had any doubt over them, they're probably sitting on the bench. There's a reason for it. Whether they just didn't fancy it, whether they're not up for the fight, who knows? That's up to the lads to sort out. But yeah, I think there's definitely a will and a want to win games now, whereas before that maybe wasn't the case.
And I think Josh Owenson is the perfect example of that, because that was probably his best game in a Peterhead shirt so far. And I say so far because obviously we want to see him improve again. But he was winning headers, he was holding the ball up. And that link play between himself and Shanks seems to be getting better and better with each passing game.
Yeah, it's a good partnership. It's starting to form, is it? Might just be a wee bit too late in the season, but yeah, nevertheless, it's still... it's been good the last couple of weeks, and we're getting the rewards of it. I think Kieran, since he came in, he's running, in behind to try to stretch defences. It has been good, and now you've got Onionson with that hold-up play. I think they complement each other pretty well, and as you said, it's probably Josh's best performance since he did come in. He's taken a bit of criticism, rightly so. I think some of the players that have come in, they have deserved a bit of criticism, but praise where it's due, and that was his best performance in a blue shirt.
And what did you make of his goal, which turned out to be the winning goal?
Yeah, good finish. I think, it's come at him, the defender, he sort of slipped at the same time, but, from your breath of confidence and it's not quite working out for you, you could put that past the post, you could put it right in the keeper's hands, you could blaze it over, but, thankfully put it right in the back of the net.
There's a bit of composure about it as well, because, as you said, the keeper's coming out and he sort of, it doesn't dumb yet, but he makes the keeper make a movement first and then he can just sort of slot it past them.
Yeah, it sort of takes a bounce and you think he's going to do almost like a fake shot, but then he's stumbled intentionally, he's let it drop a farther foot again and then he's put it past the keeper. So, yeah, like I said, when you're bereft of confidence and you have scored goals, then, them sort of situations are easy just to put it either into the keeper's path or put it wide.
And to go with the rest of the first and eighth, that was his first goal in his eighth appearance. So, first win in eight, first clean sheet in eight, his first goal in eight appearances. So we'll keep that sort of run going. But it from there, it wasn't even a case that they were holding on for the rest of the game, especially first half. I mean, we still created chances. Owenson maybe could have had a second. Jordan Brown had an effort at the goal as well. It was a case of, because we got that first goal, suddenly the confidence was there again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the closest Edinburgh came in the first half was through Stuart McKenzie. He came for the cross, but sort of fumbled it a wee bit. And then the one where he'll probably say his old keepers do, that they had it covered at the post and it whistled wide. That was a close one as well. Other than that, I didn't think Edinburgh really offered much in the first half. Didn't improve much in the second half either. But, first half, I thought, like I said, we looked confident. That goal gave us a huge lift. And also, when you had a 1-8 games, but you've gone ahead in a game, the confidence sort of came out.
But the goal, if you look at it, I mean, it's the McCarthy's fight to try and win the ball, not once but twice at the edge of the box, and again we talk about the determination and the shift that they're putting in, that wasn't there a few weeks ago. And that's where the goal comes from, because McCarthy was determined he was going to win that ball. And then obviously Jack Brown's then got the flick on as well. So all these kind of things are coming to fruition a little bit.
Yeah, you just wish it sort of started a couple of weeks earlier. For whatever reason, it isn't, but now Ryan and Jordan are starting to get a tune out of them, which is good. And, you know, it's the bare minimum you ask as a supporter that your team that's on the park give 110%. And, you know, that we got that on Saturday, thankfully.
As you rightly say, we're fairly comfortable in terms of defending. We seem to be defending for our lives, blocking shots, blocking crosses, anything that did come in. They didn't look as though they were going to be affecting us too much. You rightly say that the one where McKenzie's it seemed like an easy catch, but he's, for some reason, he's tried to then push it away. There was the one long range effort just before half time where he parried it over, but again, fairly comfortable save. And other than that, they didn't really show much going forward.
No, thankfully they didn't. I thought that it was weird. I wasn't sure whether they were poor going forward or whether we were defensively a lot better. I think it's probably a combination of the two. And yeah, I, like I said, I think the defence played really well, and I'm delighted for them. They got their first clean sheet in, you know, 8 games.
And even at the second half, you know, still creating chances. You mentioned Shanks earlier on, his effort. I think it's probably a combination of good goalkeeping for much, but maybe slight hesitation in terms of Shanks when he was through on goal. I think we said at the game he could probably take that effort on early because much is so far out, he can't touch it.
Yeah, you know, you rightly said on Saturday, he's come out of his box, so he can't really do anything. You know, and Keenan sort of made his mind up that he was going to go around the keeper. Hindsight's a great thing. It was a wrong decision because obviously Much was too far out of his goals. He couldn't do anything. Just put it around the keeper or dink it over him. He did neither, and they managed to clear their line. So he'll probably be disappointed because I thought for his performance, he probably deserves a goal, to be honest.
Yeah, and McKenzie had one save that he really needed to make in the second half. That was a shot from the angle of the box, and again, good hands on it, good strong hands on it. Again, that was probably their only effort really in the second half.
Yeah, safe hands away from danger as well. Didn't push it into the penalty box, he pushed it wide. I think it was for a throw-in, if I remember. But yeah, couldn't complain with his second half performance.
McIver in an effort as well, just maybe going slightly wide of the target, but got his shot away, and then Fosu had one from about 40 yards. But those have come from Kieran Shanks's efforts, you know, getting in behind the defence, forcing them backwards, forcing them into mistakes, and not only that, but we're getting people forward to give him a hand as well.
Yeah, there was at one point Fosu was trying to hold the ball up, and there was about 3 runners as well, I think. You go back about a month ago, the player trying to hold up the ball wouldn't have held it up, and everybody would have just sort of been wandering about in midfield with no really idea of what the plan was. So it was a lot better on Saturday from that point of view as well.
And to take you up on that point, even if you look at the goal as well, Oyunsen scores, there's probably 4 or 5 in the box as well, which, as you said, probably wouldn't have been happening 2 or 3 weeks ago.
No, I think the attacking intent was there on Saturday. I think they realised as well how important it was to try and get the 3 points. You know, sitting back wasn't going to help anybody, and I was really pleased to see the attacking intent from the players.
As I said, it didn't really feel as though we were hanging on. We probably could have killed it off, and as the longer the game goes on, and would then I get that second goal, you get a bit more kind of angsty about it, and you're just wondering if it's going to be one of those days. But credit to the boys that they hung in and they got the 3 points.
Yeah, it was weird. I think only really the last 5 minutes we sort of hung in. I think the rest of the game we were still on the front foot trying to get that second goal with numerous chances. And I think just the last 5 minutes, as you naturally do when you're holding a lead, you haven't won a game, you know, since January, you will naturally drop deeper and deeper. But even then, I still didn't think Edinburgh really caused as much problems. And, you know, the boys were worthy winners of the 3 points.
Only negative really coming out of that game was the injury to Jason Brown. He obviously had to come off second half, looked like a hamstring. And obviously that comes into play for this week. We'll say the game on a Tuesday and then the game on a Saturday. If it is a hamstring, as we think it might be, that could potentially rule him out for Tuesday.
Yeah, you pick your battles, don't you? You've got a home game against Dunfermline and you're away in Montrose. you try and figure out what game are you more likely to win. I don't think if it's a hamstring injury, Jason will play both. And you know, I think you've got to be sensible as well. Okay, it's a home game. You're trying to get something against Dunfermline, but you don't want to activate things any worse and, you know, potentially Bute for the rest of the season. There's still a lot of key games to come up. Still got Kilty, we've still got Clyde to come as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Jason maybe misses out in tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, probably the sensible thing, but you know, how Jason is, he'll...
Yeah, know what he's like, he's fine.
He'll say he's fine and just because he wants to play it, and that's fine at some points, but you just have to be sensible and realise, look, you'd much rather have him miss this game and play the rest of the season rather than playing this game, potentially aggravating it more and miss the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, we know what Jason's like. He wants to play in every game that he can. This is where you maybe just need, you know, Ryan to sit down with him and say, look, we've got big games coming up. We need you fully fit for them. You're better, you know, Jason missing one game and being fully fit for the next five than you are, you know, him playing at half capacity for the next 3-4 weeks. So, I think if he's to miss a game, more likely be tomorrow night.
So, we've seen Ryan and Jordan take the team now for three games. And it's quite obvious, I mean, without sounding sort of too disrespectful to anybody else or the previous management, but they've obviously gotten more fight and they've gotten more out of the players than they have done, than David Robinson seemed to have gotten out of the players he brought in. And I just sort of look at the performances of Oyinson, even Fosu to an extent, even Kevin Joshua, when he came on, when Jason went off injured, these players are all suddenly playing a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, so I think something must have changed at training. Obviously, you didn't become a great player overnight, likewise, you didn't become a bad player overnight. But obviously, there was something within these players that Davy thought was good. Obviously, Davy's got a good track record as well over in India. So, you know, he can pick out a player as well. That's not to say that every player he brought in was rubbish or weren't playing to their best of their ability, but it's evident now that, you know, Jordan and Ryan are getting more out of these players than what we have done in recent weeks. So you're just questioning a wee bit, where's that been the last, you know, 3-4 months? But, you know, they're here now, we're starting to get performances and you're hoping they can continue that for the rest of the season.
It sort of come along in hand with the fact that, you know, many of us was wanting Jack Brown to start. He's obviously started the last three games. Performances have been better. They just said it's because of him, potentially, is the reason why we're playing better. But when you've got players like that coming in and they've been sitting on the bench and we're screaming out, you know, we can see that Jack's a better player, and so all of a sudden we start playing better.
You need your best players playing. You know, and I think that's probably why we went to a diamond on Saturday. It sort of suited the style of play. It suited the players as well, sorry. So, yeah, if you've got players like Sir Jack Brown's quality, I don't think sitting on the bench is going to do anybody any good.
And Ryan Strachan got the man of the match, the sponsor's man of the match, but you could have easily given that to, you know, a potential 4, 5, 6 different players.
Yeah, it was one of them. We've struggled in previous home games to pick a man of the match. This time it was difficult to pick it, but for the right reasons, because there's a lot of good performances. You know, players that were given 8, 9 out of 10, which isn't been there previously. So, yeah, the sponsors won the match. Rightly, in my opinion, probably we did go to Ryan, but, you know, as you rightly point out, there's definitely a few candidates on Saturday.
Even Danny playing in midfield as well, which isn't a natural position, but, you know, he didn't look out of place there at all.
No, we've mentioned before, he's one of them lads that will get 110% regardless of what position he's playing in. We mentioned it before, there was one game he played in about 4 different positions. So, yeah, he's a lad that will give you everything.
Right, let's get to some of your comments. Obviously, a lot of positive comments coming in. We'll get to some of them just now. Scott Reid, we'll start with him. He just simply put, doing forgot what it feels like to win a game. And we certainly got that kind of feeling coming away. You know, big smiles on our faces, leaving the Balmoor for a change.
Yeah, like we said, it's been 8 weeks since we last got a win, never mind a home win. So, yeah, it was a good Saturday evening.
Ethan Stewart, we've been needing all season. It's just a shame it's come so late. The passion from certain players certainly showed today. That's the thing that you said earlier, maybe this is all just coming too late in the day.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully not. Like I said, we've still got Kilty, we've still got Clyde to play as well. Let's see how Lutman throws as well. They are the greatest of form. You maybe feel you can pick up something for there. But, yeah, if this had started maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, you'd feel a bit more optimistic. But, you know, it's not quite over just yet.
George Buchan, decent effort by the players, but we couldn't extend our lead. Plenty of chances again, but lacked the finishing. Would be nice to see Allen come on instead of Fozu. Plenty of passion in the players at full time, and that's a good point there. You know, we've seen just the way that they, I wouldn't say relief, but they were so chuffed to get that 3 points.
I think everyone realised how important it was on Saturday to get 3 points. Even more so now that also the kind of Clyde got a point as well at Kilty. Yeah, relief. You know, and rightly so, the players were delighted to get the 3 points, and you know they deserved it.
Neil Thompson, the lads played for each other as a team, not adding to our early goal was a worry, but we managed to get the job done. Oyenson and Shanks seemed to work off each other pretty well and gave us more of a threat up front. I'm sure the lads were pleased to know that the support were confident in the victory, and as we were saying earlier on about the Shanks and Oyenson partnership suddenly coming together now.
Yeah, it looked good. Again, a wee bit like most things, you're hoping it's not too late, but you know, there's early signs that there is a decent partnership. Whether that can, you know, rekindle next season if, you know, Josh stays on and Kieran comes back, it remains to be seen. But, you know, we've still got a few weeks to go, and hopefully they can get a couple of goals between them.
Richard Fraser, not pretty, but a win. We just needed a second goal to settle the nerves. Billy Bruce, so satisfying to see the effort from the team. It's all you can ask for at this stage of the season. Same again for the remaining fixtures. Andrew Jones, lots of positivity. Good goal. Could and should have been more. A few nosebleeds in front of goal, but good effort by all. And maybe just touching on what you said about the being in front of goal, just maybe snatching at efforts. I think you mentioned Fozu. He obviously had the one for 40 yards, and then about 2 or 3 minutes later, he had the one that was inside the box but blazed it over. And maybe all that comes from not scoring goals earlier on in the season.
Yeah, probably. A wee bit of confidence as well, I'd have thought. That's the moments when you're looking for them just to have that clinical composure. You know, just take that extra second sometimes just to think of what they're going to do. But, I mean, the positive is we're creating the chances. You go back a couple of weeks, we were nowhere near as creative going forward. So it's one of them, you're disappointed that we're not hitting a target and we're not scoring the goals, but we are creating the chances. That's the flip side to it.
Keith Leslie, every one of them gave it their all. Great to see them finally getting a win. Had chances to ease the nerves, but they saw it out. Hope Jason's hamstring isn't too bad. Thought Kevin did well when he came on to take that into Tuesday, lads. Peter McLeod, the introduction of Ryan and Jordan has been much needed breath of fresh air. The difference on performance now and when Robertson was in charge is massive. Long may that continue. Gordon Park fully deserved the win. Should have been miles out of sight though. And Louise Cardinal, brilliant game, full of heart and effort, plenty of opportunities, but we only needed to take the one goal. And yeah, maybe that's we're saying about the negative is Jason's injury. Maybe being overly picky, saying we should have killed it off, but in the end, it didn't really matter that we didn't kill it off.
No, it didn't matter in the end, but you'd have liked that second, you know, to be 2-0 up with doing great. There was always that lingering thought in the back of your mind that Edinburgh might have gotten something late on in the game because we hadn't killed the game off. But, you know, we've got the result, we've kept a clean sheet, and, you know, everybody went home happy.
And if that happens on Tuesday, we get an early goal, and we didn't take our chances, you know that Dunfermline at the other end will probably take theirs or create more than what Edinburgh did. And that's maybe the difference between that two games.
Yeah, we've also got, you know, a factor tomorrow night will be that if Dunfermline beat us and Falkirk failed to beat Montrose, they can win the title tomorrow night. So, you know, they'll be going out to get the win. We're hoping to be the party poopers and, you know, don't allow them to win. I would take a point now against the league leaders. So, yeah, it's got big ramifications at both ends of the table tomorrow night's game.
So we're now 2 points behind Clyde after they got another 0-0 draw on Saturday. We spoke last week about the momentum. Maybe it shifted towards them because they'd picked up a decent 0-0 against Falkirk. They've now got another one, but we've got the win and we've still got a game in hand. So in terms of who's got the advantage or anybody got an advantage, who's got the momentum, how do you see it now?
Well, I think we've maybe got the slight momentum, the fact that we picked up a win, whereas, you know, Clyde's got 2 0-0s. So, okay, the positive is they haven't conceded, but they haven't also scored either. They've still got to come to Balmoor. I think that's a massive one as well. That's your proverbial six-pointer. But they've got the points on the board. They are 2 points ahead. They do have the better goal difference. So I think we've got the momentum in terms of the result from Saturday, but I actually think it's quite equally balanced. Like I said, they've still got to come here, but they've got points on the board plus a better goal difference. So, yeah, I think there's another twist still happening this running.
Well, they've picked up 3 points in the last six. We've picked up 4 in our last six. So suddenly we're getting the points on the board. We've obviously got 5 games. They've only got the 4. excuse me. And if we pick up even a point in our next 2 games, across the next 2 games, moving us 2 points, we'll be level with them as we sort of approach that game against them in a couple of weeks' time.
They'd have probably gone in on Saturday, Kelty, thinking, right, you know, we've got a point, it's a good point. Okay, they'll have known that we'd have been 1-0 up at half-time, I would have thought. But they'd have always had the back in their mind that Edinburgh would have gotten something, or hoped they would have. So I think psychologically for us to get a win, like you said, that's now 4 points in our last 6 games. So just a slight edge in that sense. But I do think that game at Balmoor on the 22nd, is it, on the Saturday, that will be, you know, your six-pointer.
The drawing tasked the team last week after the game down the road against the Queen of South. He wanted the 6 points out of these next 3 games. Obviously, we're halfway there already. So, you know, even if we pick up nothing on Tuesday, but then go and beat Montrose next week, on Saturday, that's the 6 points he was looking for. But we've got Clyde are now playing FC Edinburgh at home as well, which obviously, as we said, they are in great form. So it's a case of we need to be picking up points in most of the games now.
Yeah, that's the stage we're at now. The season, every point's a prisoner. The fact that Clyde have still got to play Edinburgh, we've seen how great how disappointing they were on Saturday if you're an Edinburgh supporter's point of view. But you'll be looking for Edinburgh to have a reaction. But then Clyde will know that Edinburgh are beatable. So, you know, there's so many different things that can happen. That's why points on the board at this stage is crucial. But we do have the momentum from the win on Saturday as well.
And that's the thing. We've got a momentum now. But as Ryan said in his post-match on Saturday, we've been in this position before. We've played well. We've won a game. And then it's going sort of tits up the next game.
Yeah, that's a bit we need to eradicate. But guys at work today were saying to me, oh, playing Dunfermline is probably the worst game we could have had. I actually think the opposite. You know, the fact that they could win the title. You as a player do not want an opposition team coming and winning the title in your backyard. Now, obviously, we're not in contention for it, but you do not want to see a player celebrating a division that you're in and winning the title. It's a personal pride thing. And I think there's just got to be that a little bit of, you know, niggle bit in the back of the player's mind thinking we could be the team that stops them winning it today. You know, and it kicks it on a couple more days. So, yeah, personal pride, I think we'll maybe do okay more.
Yeah, as you said, you don't want them coming here and then winning the title. I mean, obviously, because they drew on Saturday, means they can still date, but they're relying on other results, whereas if they'd beaten Falkirk on Saturday, they would have been coming up here and pretty much guaranteeing themselves a title win. So, it's a slightly different look to the game now as opposed to maybe what Dunfermline were maybe looking at the start of the week.
Yeah, they'd have been hoping to come up here and, you know, just in their own hands and win the title. Obviously now that's not the case. They need Falkirk to drop points at Montrose. But, you know, Falkirk as well, they wouldn't have been wanting Dunfermline to win the title. They will at some point, but the longer Falkirk can keep it going, the more you think they might be in with a chance, which evidently they're not. So it's all but done, apart from mathematically being sealed. But as a Peterhead player, you don't want a visiting team coming up here and winning the title, and I'm sure there'll be that in the back of their minds and they'll want to put on a good showing.
Yeah, it seems to be that Falkirk are doing a normal Falkirk at this stage of the season and just completely
crumbling
as it is. So Tuesday's game, as we said, we've got Dunfermline. You've mentioned the title, but they need Montrose to win as well. They're 19 unbeaten in the league at the moment. So not only do they want to sort of keep that running, which I think is a club record, but they want to try and keep that running until the end of the season as well. And Dunfermline play Clyde in the second last game of the season. So you might think, well, there's nothing for Dunfermline to play for by the second last game of the season. But at home, last game of the season at East End Park, they'll have won the title by then, you would have thought. So they'll want to try and finish off the season at home with a good performance and a good win. And that might just play into our hands, it's particularly if we've already beaten Clyde the week before.
So they played Clyde, that's their last home game of the season?
Dunfermline played Clyde the second last game of the season, and then the following week Clyde played Montrose at home.
So Dunfermline's last home game will be Clyde, so they will get the trophy presentation that day as well, you'd have thought. Yeah. So yeah, they'll want to put on a good showing for their supporters, and you know, hopefully it'll work in their favour that they beat Clyde. That's the same day we're away at Kilty, so yeah, that could be a pivotal afternoon as well in the division. You're hoping it's still gone that far as well. We're hoping that Clyde will come up and beat us the week before. But yeah, it Dunfermline, they'll want to make sure they've got that unbeaten run going at the end of the season, so that could work in their favour.
And it might be weird to say, but I think the focus will be primarily on them, because obviously they could win the title. So maybe this is a game where maybe, you know, a lot of folk wouldn't be expecting much from Peterhead, even though it's at him, we've won on Saturday. But so this could be one of those games where we can just fly under the radar a little bit, and all the pressure will be on Dunfermline during the game.
Yeah, we'll be massive outsiders. Don't think anybody will expect us to get anything from the game unless you're within the Peterhead camp and you've seen the performance on Saturday and thought you could maybe do something against Dunfermline. They'll be coming up to win the title. They'll want to put on a good show, and I think they'll actually take up a decent support because they can win the title.
Yeah.
Which maybe wasn't the case a couple of weeks ago when the original fixture was due to be played. So yeah, I don't think many people will give us a chance, which might actually play in our hands.
And the fact that the crowd's going to be coming up, and I wonder as well, obviously they'll have their eye on what's happening with Montrose and Falkirk. And, you know, we might end up having, you know, these random cheers for the opposite end, or, you know, random sort of come on because, you know, Falkirk have gone and scored or something like that. So I think it'll be a strange atmosphere because, you know, as you said, Dunfermline will be coming up here expecting to win the title. But I think it will be quite a nervy game, all told, because obviously we want to try and get this relegation fight, and Dunfermline are looking to try and win the title. So a nervy maybe opening 20 minutes, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably one of them games you don't want to open up too early. You don't want to be 2-3-0 down within the half-hour mark. Probably keep it tight and try and feed our way into the game. We've said that a lot of times before for away games, maybe slightly different this time at home. You know, Dunfermline are a better side than us. The table doesn't lie. But, you know, we've shown signs in recent weeks that there is a bit of fight in us, so that can work in our favour as well.
So having picked up the 3 points against Dunfermline and stopped them from winning the title, we go on to Saturday's game against Montrose, where we look to pick up, make it 3 wins out of 3, against a side, really, that's not playing particularly well at the minute. Montrose, and you know, they've slipped the 7th in the table. And they're 9 points off the playoffs, and that's a position they haven't been in since they've been back in League One.
No, they're a bit of a yo-yo side, are they? They're going through periods where they play really well, and then periods that they sort of struggle. And at the moment, they're going through that period of struggling. Obviously, in no danger of slipping down the division, but, you know, had their early season form not been as good, then it could have been a different story. Definitely a team that I don't think we should fear going away to, like we have done with some of the so-called bigger sides. And it might actually, like I said a couple of weeks ago, when you look at teams that are maybe on the beach with nothing really to play for, are they going to be up for the fight? And that's probably one of the end games in one throws that you sort of earmark and go, they've really got much to play for. We could probably get the 3 points.
And since the turn of the year, they've only had 3 wins in their 12 games, lost 3-0 on Saturday against Airdrie. So really, the form hasn't been great, and that's not a Stuart Patriot-esque team, as I said. since they've been in League One. They've made the playoffs every season, and they're certainly not going to make it this time round.
No, I think the quality in League One has probably been to Montrose's detriment in terms of there's a lot of good sides. You know, you've got your Airdries, you've got Falkirk and Dunfermline, a lot of big sides as well. So Montrose were always punching above their weight, I felt, in recent seasons. So this year it's maybe sort of just balancing out a wee bit in terms of they've started to slide in the division. But again, they'll want to get one up on us as well. So maybe not quite as just cutthroat and thinking, well, Montrose is not to play for, we can go there and get the 3 points. We'll need to put on a good showing. And the fact that we'll be playing 3 games within a week, you know, that will play its part as well.
But Montrose will be doing the exact same thing as well, because obviously they're playing Tuesday night, and that's the key thing for both teams really, is to come through Tuesday's game relatively unscathed, then get your one training session Monday, Thursday, and then try and get the win that well, both sides really need, but we need it obviously a bit more than what they do.
Yeah, I mean, it's unusual for you going to a League One game having played 3 games within a week. It doesn't often happen. But you're probably maybe in the Montrose game, you might make a few changes in terms of trying to freshen things up, trying to get the best out of players. You'd have what, you know, potentially play players 3 times within a week. They've also got jobs as well. So, you know, all these things come into consideration when you're a part-time club.
The next 2 games, obviously Dunfermline Tuesday, Montrose on Saturday. How many points do you think would be the minimum that we need to take, and how much do you think realistically we are going to take?
I think at this moment in time, if you've got a point against both sides of two, I think we'd be okay. It's a weird one because you don't know if Clyde's going to do either. But yeah, if somebody offered me now a point against Dunfermline, a point away at Montrose, and then going into a home game against Clyde, yeah, I'd probably take it.
And that's providing, obviously, Clyde and I getting the hang on Saturday. If we pick up a point against Dunfermline, which would be a really good point, by the way, but then take a point against Montrose, and then suddenly Clyde beat FC Edinburgh at home, they then go 3 points ahead. So regardless if we beat them the following week, they'll still be ahead of us because of goal difference.
Yeah, that's the issue. Clyde's just been plugging away and getting points here and there. That their goal difference also counts as well. So, yeah, I do think if we got a point against Dunfermline, a point against Montrose, it would be okay, but I would also take a defeat against Dunfermline to then beat Montrose.
Yeah, just quickly before we finish up, the 4 remaining games after that, so we've got Montrose away, Clyde at home, Kelty away, and then Falkirk at home. Clyde have got FC Edinburgh at home, we've got us away from home, Dunfermline away, and then finish at Montrose at home. Maybe we've got the slightly easier run. Because we're playing, apart from Falkirk, we're playing teams at the bottom half. Whereas Clyde are playing Dunfermline and FC Edinburgh, who are obviously top half.
That last game of the season. So it'll be Peterhead versus Falkirk, and then is it Montrose, Clyde, or Clyde Montrose?
Clyde Montrose. Clyde
at home.
So we're both home the last game.
Both at home in the last game. Yeah, that could be a nervy one, providing it goes that far down. Like I said, there's interesting games to come up. It all you know, depending on when you play the team, whether they've got anything to play for based on their results as well. But you know, we're firmly in the business end of the season. And any point that you can pick up, you know, it's valuable.
Right, now joining me for, I guess, a bonus appearance this time round, Michael Woods from the That's Never 10 Yards podcast. Michael, how are you doing?
Well, I think I said to you off air, I'm struggling a wee bit after the stag do, but I'm in good spirits when I found out that the prelude came back to draw against Falkirk at the weekend, even though we lost on corners once again, but we'll live to follow up with that as long as we win the league. And that could potentially be tomorrow up in Peterhead, of course.
Yeah, that's essentially it's what it's all about for you, really, isn't it? It's about winning the league on Tuesday night. It's less straightforward now because of the draw on Saturday.
Yeah, we need to win, and then hopefully Stuart Peach down the road, obviously ex-Pars, manager Montrose, does us a favour, and if they draw or even beat Falkirk, then the league is ours. If not, we have to come back home and do it in front of a crowd there against Queen of the South But it's, I mean, it's just inevitable when it happens, not if it happens now. After that win against Falkirk last month, I basically put the bed, the league to bed. It was just a case of when we're going to win it. And it could be nice to do up in Peterhead, but if not, to do it in front of a packed crowd at East End Park would be tremendous considering the season that O'Brien have had. Nobody says it's been as hard as your season, of course. You've had a lot more struggles in it, but one of the Fiona fans who I think were a lot nervy about the situation. Many predicted Falkirk could actually win the league. They thought they had the better summer transfer window. I kept my nerve and tipped them Fiona to win the league, but I tipped them Fiona to win the league last season. And obviously, like what happened, so not necessarily Mystic Meg, but no, I think it'll be a tough game tomorrow though because of your, I guess, resurgence in the form. Mm-hmm. So again, I think I've come on this show and said a nice, comfortable win. I'd be most happy with it, and I'm not going to change my mind now, even though you're in better form. And I don't say we're complacent, but we're slowly cantering towards the title more so than anything. I think the players know that as well. But there is still something on the line in terms of an unbeaten record. They're 19 unbeaten in the league. 20 is the club record. Dennis Murray wants to add to his club record of clean sheets as well. So individually, there is still stuff to play for these players outside the title, which of course said is an inevitability at this moment in time.
You've been helped, obviously, with the run that you're on, but you've been helped as well by Falkirk's sort of form since they've won in the quarterfinal of the Cup. They seem to, the wheels have sort of come off them slightly.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a case with John McGlynn, and I know Raith Rovers have said this in the past, their fans, that for the first maybe half of the season, when you only play each other twice, home and away, McGlynn knows how to mastermind game plans, really. But because there's no really plan B anymore with him, it's much more, because he obviously was a scout at Celtic, and well, I've never seen a coach kind of revert from one style of football to a totally different brand of football, but he used to be lump along, but now it's now all these nice intricate passes. But I think because of the standard of player, you can work out that game plan if you've seen them for the third time or the fourth time. And I do wonder when they get into the playoffs, if they'd be in a bit of a sticky wicket, because if they come against the Adrians, who they struggled against mightily, and who knows, when they say, who might sneak in with their resurgence in form, that I think they're just kind of coming apart at the seams a bit, and that win in the Scottish Cup obviously take a bit of the shine off of that, us beating them. Because obviously a day at Hampden's nice, but that seems to be their sole focus just now, and I do wonder if they take an eye off the ball a wee bit, because Airdrie are just keeping back up. And Dunfermline did this the first season in League One after they got relegated back in 2013, where they finished second behind Rangers. And because Rangers were so far ahead of everybody else, and Dunfermline were kind of keeping that nice, comfortable gap in second, that the wheels fell off our season towards the end of the campaign. And obviously, as much as Dunfermline fans would not like to be reminded, Ken Beath kept us down that season. And then it was a successive two seasons in League One before we went back up. So thankfully, it's only the one campaign this time. But yeah, if I was a Falkirk fan, I'd be feeling very nervy now. As a Falkirk fan, I wouldn't mind seeing Falkirk go up so we could beat them two more times next season. We still would maintain that rivalry, but if Falkirk stay in this division once again, I think a lot of teams around them will not have any fear of them, because they're just kind of getting stuck in this kind of Airdrie mode where all their campaigns seem to be in League One in most recent outings.
You mentioned, obviously, you can win the title on Tuesday up at Peterhead. Is there maybe a slight element that you'd maybe prefer to win it at home in front of a home crowd, or is it just a case now, just get it over and done with?
I think for the scenes and the pictures, winning a cold Tuesday night in Peterhead, which is one of the longest away days for a Dunfermline fan this season outside of Dumfries, then I think I wouldn't say it would take anything away from it, because the Mayfans have been tremendous in their support of this season. But I think when you win at East End Park, if you get the boards out and everything like that, mm-hmm. those are the scenes you remember from that 6-1 day at Brecon 6 years ago, 7 years ago now, with all the pyrotechnics going off in the background, of course, as well. I think that adds more to maybe a nicer scene looking back memory-wise. Just get it done. The fact that it's not necessarily in our hands, we do need a favour from Montrose. And that's for our own doing, because we drew with Edinburgh and Kelly in successive home games, where we could have been going to the Falkirk game to win the title, which, for all intents and purposes, would have been maybe the best title win in the Dunfermline fans' minds. But it wasn't to be, of course, but if you're unbeaten against your rivals, I think it's a bit arrogant in a sense to say, where do you want to win the title, rather than can you just win the title? So yeah, Bludgeons would be nice to win it anywhere. I think if you did it in front of your home fans, it adds a bit more in that specialty, because again, Eastern Park was the place where we got relegated last season, so to kind of right that wrong in a sense, I suppose would be poetic.
It's obviously a Tuesday night, but you would still expect a big crowd coming up the road?
Yeah, I know quite a few of our boys are going up the road, and there's, of course, there's the travelling support that's been healthy in numbers throughout the whole season, which is four Falkirk fans bought tickets apparently in the Dunfermline end on Saturday to make it not a sellout apparently. I don't think those boys will be travelling up, but yeah, I think you'll see a good healthy number and support, because there's a chance to see your team win the title. And as a Dunfermline fan, as much as a lot of us consider ourselves a big team, there's not too many league titles throughout our history to go on. So if you've got the opportunity, and some fans, well, this will be the third league title they've seen in 12 years. So even though it's League One, and it's not any full-time team that's going to be kicking in League One for too long, it's still a nice moment. I don't think you can denigrate it anyway. So I think it'll be a nice, healthy travelling support to go up on Tuesday. And since the weather's nice, hopefully there's no chance of postponement, so I need to come on for a sixth time this season.
No, I think there's no chance of being postponed this time around. Given the tough game on Saturday, coming back for 2-0 down to draw 2-2, and obviously we got a hard-fought victory, first one in 8. Are you anticipating this one to be a closer game again this time round?
I think the only thing I would say is Dunfermline, as much as Dunfermline will be beat once this season, and there wasn't the road, the away games have been the more easier to sell into and get out of the way. And I think the last time we were up there, we won, was it 2-0? So I think if we got a nice comfortable victory outside the first 20 minutes and then kind of just see the game out, yeah. But you just have to play the game that's in front of you, and I believe Beer Head will actually give a tough challenge. I know for as much as your season's been difficult, your better form has been at home as well. Mm. And you don't concede as many goals at home as you do away. So I think if Dunfermline got away with a 2-0 victory, I think you'd have to be very happy with that. And then just obviously people be paying attention to their phones and their apps to see what's happening down the road in Montrose. But yeah, I don't anticipate an easy game against anybody in this division, as much as there's sides who, with all due respect, Dunfermline should be being, but not just Dunfermline, a team at the top of the table should be being. That's not been the case this season. We've obviously drawn with yourselves, drawn with Clyde twice, so that, like, there is, it's not a fact of complacency. I just think McPake's maybe struggles to break down sides who camp in and come for a point, especially Eastern Bars, like Edinburgh have done twice, and it's only taken them an own goal to get a victory across those two games. So I don't think you take anything for granted in this division, and I think if you do, then you look very silly. But I think McPake, with his feet on the ground mentality, will be tasking these boys with, this not an opportunity necessarily to win the league, this is a chance to, in a sense, have immortality. If you have the club record for league games unbeaten, that's something that is rarely touched. So where league titles can come and go, Myers knows something tangible. I think you'll always be remembered if you're the team that's the longest unbeaten run in the club's history, which is obviously pushing 140 years now. So I think McPake can twist in a certain way where he can maybe take the edge off the fact that the titles, it seems, an inevitability, but there's still stuff to play for. So I think if you just calm and go into the game without that pressure, then I believe they have the ability to comfortably win the game, but they just have to perform on the day. And I think it's testament to the boys in the Falkirk game when they're 2-0 down, immediately spring back into action and get the second, keep the unbeaten run going, more than anything, because I think there's been cases where there's maybe been games where you think it's been a helper or breed some confidence into the side, like the Air Jordans game where they go 3-0 down, come back to win 4-3. Now, obviously there's an element of luck, fortune in that with Airdrie going down to 10 men, but to do that again against a difficult opponent, a bogey team in many senses, along with Greenock Morton over the last decade since we've been in the lower leagues, I think there's like building blocks in place that you can point to games this season, maybe next season, when it's going tough, saying, look, this is what you did in this game, this is the belief that you have in the players, and this is the ability that you have. It's going to be much tougher next season, no doubt about that, but I think the knock from relegation and the successive managers of Peter Grant and John Hughes, I think that ebbed away at a lot of the players, because they were good players, but they just weren't short on the park. But now under McPake, and his new deal, of course, I think Dumfries will have a very sound footing in the next few seasons to come.
Yeah, so it could be a really interesting game. It could actually be quite a cagey game opening 20 minutes, because obviously a lot to play for both sides. There could well be random cheers coming from the away end, depending on what's happening, obviously, with the Montrose and Falkirk game. How do you think the players might react to, you know, what might be happening round about them, you know, with potentially the scores coming from the other game?
I suppose it's interesting. It's what I've actually liked to ask a few players, like if they played in the game where maybe the results are away would affect them. But I think because it won't be a bumper crowd, and effectively you hear all the shouts from the crowd anyway, that McPate can't say, "Oh, I didn't know what was happening in the other game, I wasn't paying attention to that." You would be abundantly clear that what was going on. I think McPate would just go about asking these players to do the job in hand, and what happens elsewhere, and don't need to worry about that. But I do wonder if you're a player and you've got the mentality of thinking, like, we can go in and win this. But it was also the case in the Kelly Hearts game where Falkirk were, they drew with Clyde that day, didn't they? And it's like, well, if you go on and kick on, you could win that game in Falkirk. But that didn't seem to spur the players onto any real life. But I do wonder what happens in the players' minds when they're thinking you're kind of caught in a mind or two. And I think that's maybe the danger of this game, that you're potentially looking for something else to happen for you to win the league. But if you just go out and do your job and win the game, then you don't have to worry about what happens elsewhere. It may come on Tuesday, or it may come on Saturday. You just never know.
So for any Dunfermline supporter that can't get up the road, then the Peterhead are streaming the game live, so that is available on their website, so you can get all the details for that. But Michael, thanks very much again for coming on for this bonus appearance. Shortly coming up for a double hat trick, but surely that won't be happening soon. But best of luck for obviously wrapping up the title. Hopefully that is not on Tuesday night, but it's as you said, it's looking inevitable. If it's not Tuesday, it'll be Saturday.
No problem, Colin. Thank you, everyone.
Right, now to get to Saturday's verdict, or preview, I should say, joining me from the Montrose Supporters Club is Graham. Graham, how are you doing?
No bad, Colin, no bad. Doing good for Monday, anyway.
Aye, it's not too bad. Been a wee while since we've actually spoke. I think November was the last time we spoke, because we played each other up at... I did New Year, but obviously we weren't recording then. So, how are things been with you since November?
Personally, been all right on the pitch. Maybe not so good, you know, like a few injuries and key positions and stuff like that is kind of just meant that it's not been as fluid as we'd hoped for. But hope there's some seedlings for next season as well. It's been a tough league this year, let's face it, you know, you know, dare I say Falkirk have maybe found a wee bit of form this year and actually understood what the league means. Dunfermline, let's just say, you know, I think everyone's wage and budget combined might not even hit what they've been spending this year to get out of the league. It's football's football, you know, we are where we are. Still fighting away, you know, trying to get as high up the league as we possibly can.
It's not looking likely that you're going to get playoff this season, but that'll be the first time since you got promoted back in 2018 you haven't made playoffs. So,
yeah.
Do you look at that as maybe being a blip, or is it a poor season, or is it, as you said, just maybe League One is a wee bit stronger this year?
I'd probably go with the end one. You know, maybe the failure to sign a recognised right back. You know, even in the summer after Cammy had left, and then even in January, you know, we've signed Williamson on a pre-contract from Falkirk, which is great. You know, if he comes in and does the business, fantastic. But in reality, we've gone for a full season, really, without a recognised right-back. And in a fair few games, when you're watching it, you see it going down the right-hand side, and you just, put your head in your hands, and just, what's going to happen here? And, you know, we've lost quite a few goals, you know, late goals as well, to turn 3 points into 1 point, maybe, the other way around, 1 point into no points. So it's been one of those ones this season. Full faith in the gaffer, you know, put a few bodies in the summertime, and, you know, see how we go for next year. But yeah, this year's maybe, it's one of those ones, you know, a lot of the younger guys come in and all they know now is success, so they're thinking, oh, this is rubbish. It's like, yeah, wait till you've been in the bottom league for 22 years and spent time at the bottom of that league, you know, so you see what that's like. So, yeah, it's one of those ones. It's a strong league, and maybe just know playing to the best of our abilities as well at times.
I think you're sitting 1-11, lost 11, and drawn 9, and scored 42, conceded 43. So it's a very up and down, maybe inconsistent season, maybe.
Yeah, you know what? It's great when we use the loan market. I do enjoy that. You know, like, you get some great players in that way. You know, like, youngsters starting out in their career. And, you know, like, young Adam McKinnon from Ross County, he's been great. Matty Wright came in, and he went bad for Ross County, and now he's at Falkirk. Ross Sinclair, the goalie, despite the fact that he got a red card enough with you boys. We'll say no more about that one. He was fantastic. He was absolutely brilliant. And then, it's one of those ones he's done really good. You know, Johnston needed a backup keeper, and off he went to go and sit more on the bench at McDermott. So, you know, like, we've been a wee bit unlucky with things like that. But yeah, struggled for the consistency that we might have shown in the past few years, I would say.
Yeah, I think, look at your stats. I think since the turn of the year, you've only won 3 out of the 12 since January. So it's in great form tail end of the season.
No. I think there's maybe an element, and let's just get the season done and dusted and get on to next year. It's one of those ones, we just have to wait and see what happens with it. You know, any comings or goings and stuff like that. I say, we know we've got the lad Williamson coming in from Falkirk. He's stepping down from full-time into part-time. SP's quite happy with him, so we'll see how he goes. There's a few other players, you know, like positions that we'd like to see filled. You know, like, Rory's no Jalistet the Heather alike this year. But then, you know, when you've got, like, so maybe one of the best right-sided wingers playing right back in Graham Webster and not being able to provide for him, there's always been that this year.
You're from a sort of Montrose perspective, you're now coming up against a team on Saturday that hasn't scored a goal against you, and in fact didn't score a goal entire last season either. So is this maybe the right game at the right time, or do you look at it and say, well, Bailey is maybe actually playing a wee bit better than they had been previously?
Do you know what I think there's a basis, like, some great players with you guys, you know, like, you know, I'll keep my own personal opinions about Davey Robertson aside, from his time when he was manager with us. You know, he signed a hell of a lot of guys for you. Yeah. Like I said, there's a few that wouldn't really be a standard to be playing on a Sunday pub league like, but there's a few players there, and you know what? It's one of those ones, you guys are playing for your life. You know, you really are. You know, you're fighting for every point to try and get yourself at least into the playoff position. So it's going to be a tough game. It always is against you guys. You know, like, prefer them more down here. Prefer playing on the Arsenal instead of the Balmore a few times, like, you know, like, especially in January there when it was, I'm pretty sure I'm still defrosting parts of my body from that one in January, like. But no, you guys are fighting for your life. Great result on Saturday there, you know, like, done something that we've struggled to do all season and beat Edinburgh. So, you know, hopefully tails are high. We've got Falkirk tomorrow night. So again, maybe go into that with a bit of a free hit. I think they've got a wee bit of an eye on the set cup semi-final, you know, like, so I think they realise they're no catching Dunfermline. But, you know, like I say, you need to still keep a wee bit of form going into the, you know, towards the playoffs. So many times you hit the playoffs and you've not won a wee few times, the next thing you know, you're out after 2 games. And, you know, like I say, budgetary-wise, you know, the Scottish Cup will do them the power of good, but they really need to get out of this league if they want to carry on with some of the players that they've got, I would say. So tomorrow night will be an interesting one, you know, like, and that'll then set me up for what sort of mood I'll be in on Saturday, unfortunately.
Is Tuesday's game, we were obviously speaking, Marcel and Martin, about the Tuesday's game coming up and what that might affect how Saturday goes. Do you look at Tuesday's game for you guys against Falkirk as a game you just need to get through and, you know, they pick up any sort of niggling injuries or any silly bookings and then look to build on Saturday again?
Yeah, you know, like, I think, like, we've got to beat by them 2-1 down there. controversial second goal for them, but we'll say no more. You know, like so, and you know, despite the fact when they had their wee AGM thing last year, and you know, like you had the wee guy that said like so they should be humping teams like us 7 or 8 nil every time. That was the first time they'd beaten us in a season and a half for the last game. So you know, like we know we can go toe to toe with them. Again, the standard of their loan players that they can bring in sometimes are a wee bit better than what we've got because of the full-time training. Like the young lad from Rangers, is it Kai Kennedy, I think it is? He's been fantastic for them in any time that I've seen them. So tomorrow night will be tough, but you know, like it's nothing to be said. Years gone by, we would have probably been scared of playing teams like Falkirk and Dunfermline and stuff like that. But these days, it's like just go out and have a go with it. You know, I think we're still the only team to have beaten Dunfermline in the league this year, this season.
Well, hopefully that'll change by Tuesday.
Perfect. No, let's have that. You know, like, there you go. So Saturday will be whoever wins that one will get to keep Dunfermline. That's what's good enough
for me, like. I'll go with that. Got to mention Rory McAllister. He scored his 300th goal last weekend or the weekend before. I think it was a penalty for you guys. Phenomenal career that he's had. Obviously, quite a few of his goals have been in a blue shirt. But you said earlier on, maybe he hasn't been firing all cylinders this season, though.
No, you know what? Cannot fault his work rate at all. Absolutely. You know, like so, you see him like so tracking people back to his own byline. You know, he wants to get involved, you know, like, so, even down at Aloe, we were playing him in, like, a number 10 role instead of the number 9 role, and he was involved. And I can't fault him for it, I really can't fault him. Maybe there was the monkey on the back to get over the 300th as well, because prior to the penalty scored against Edinburgh, he'd missed two of his last penalties, one at Kelty, both against Kelty, one here and one down there. So you know, as much as as players say, no, it doesn't affect me. There is still that element, you know, like say, look, 300 goals for any striker. You know, let's take Messi and Ronaldo and all that out of it. That's some achievement in the modern game. And you know what? I think maybe it was just playing on his mind a wee bit, as they say, with injuries and stuff like that, and you know, lack of skill at certain positions, were maybe not provided enough for him this season. So hopefully, you know, a nice good pre-season under his belt, and we'll see him firing on all cylinders next year.
You maybe just think it now that he's got the 300, he can maybe relax a wee bit in there now. There's no that sort of anxiety to get that goal again.
Well, that's it. You know, like so, I think there's always that element when you kind of seen Harry Kane before he got his goal for England, and a few of the players when they're reaching to get those records, they seem to try that bit harder, you know, like instead of just doing what got you to the 299, basically just being in the right position and using your skill, maybe just overhit, you know, like a few times. But you know what? He's been class, you know, like, and I think even with some of the young lads and stuff like that that have been training with him, they've spoken really well off him, you know, like, so, yeah, hopefully, like, you know, for you guys, hopefully not this Saturday, maybe tomorrow night, you know, like, get a hat rack tomorrow night and then rest him on Saturday, I don't know, but, no, hopefully with the monkey off his back now, he's got the 300, he just plays with that wee bit more, enjoyment and abandonment in his game.
So, final question then, coming up Saturday's game, what do you think the score will be? How do you see it going?
2-1 to the Mo. We'll see, you'll get your goal at long last. and, you know, we'll go for 2 for the home team. As I say, you know what, there've been tight games this season. Been really good. As I say, if we're firing on all cylinders, we might just be a wee bit too, but as you say, you guys are fighting for every point, so it's the makings of a good game anyway.
Graham, thanks very much for coming on once again. Pleasure to speak to you over the course of the season. Just a handful of games left now, but wish you well for the rest of the season. And from an point of view, I hope we're speaking again next season and we're still in League One.
Definitely, Colin, definitely. All the best for the season, pal.
So So that is it for this part of the episode. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks to Michael Wood from the That's Never 10 Yards podcast, and to Michael Christensen from the Montrose Supporters Club for joining me, and to Martin Smith for his thoughts. Thank you everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in. I've been Colin Byers. Martin and I will be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.